section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Lucha Underground news, not a champion's fallout, and Bischoff talks to JBL. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Lucha Underground is renewed for a second season. Are you excited about this?
Reasonably. I'm not a huge Lucha Underground fan, but I do think that it's good that we are getting some more wrestling and a different style of wrestling. You know, this is more scripted and more drama-based. It is very different than Ring of Honor or WWE. It's more closely aligned, actually, with WWE than, like, TNA or Ring of Honor. So I think that this is good, and I hope that this means even a third or a fourth season with them.
Yeah, it's great. And one thing also that I think is weird, supposedly Del Rio, formerly known as Del Rio, he may not be coming back for season two because he said there's not a schedule set, so he may not be there, which is very interesting because I think he's their top draw next to John Morrison or Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, definitely. Morrison is the top draw. You have Conan, who's a pretty big draw, too. Vampiro, actually, you know, even though he's an announcer, you know, he's a little bit of a draw. And a few other people, too, that have been doing pretty well there. And it's nice because, you know, this is a place that other people can go. I've always thought that that was really cool. You know, back in the day, if you weren't making it with WWF, you could go to WCW. If you weren't doing it there, maybe ECW. You know, there were a lot of different opportunities that you had, so you didn't feel like you were left out in the cold. And I think that's nice. If you leave the WWE, TNA is an option, but, you know, it's a little volatile right now. So maybe Ring of Honor, maybe Lucha Underground, maybe AAA in New Japan. You know, there's a lot of options right now, which is really great.
Oh, yeah. And here's something that I guess has been bothering me a lot more. We keep seeing fans either jumping into the ring or getting onto the entrance ramp. And before, WWE never really did anything about this. They kind of just said you're banned for life. But now they're pressing charges against anyone who comes, basically jumps the rails or the rails. And they didn't do this before, but I understand why they're doing it, because you never know. That guy who came in at Night of Champions could have had a knife and could have stabbed Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose. And he's spending, I think they said it's 10 days in jail. And he has 1.5 years that he could be on probation for, which is a big deal. So if you jump in the ring, be prepared what's going to happen, because you're going to get in trouble. What are your thoughts on that?
There have been a couple instances of fans jumping into the ring. A couple that come to mind. There was one where it was Shawn Michaels versus John Cena at WrestleMania, and a fan jumps in the ring. So Shawn Michaels jumps on the turnbuckle and waits for him to get escorted out. You know, that was just so stupid. It's like, you know, you want your 15 minutes or not even 15 minutes. You want your 5 seconds of fame. Like, why? You know, you paid a lot of money for the event. Why would you want to jump the rails for that? That was stupid. The other that really was a huge concern was Eddie Guerrero in a ladder match. I want to say it was RVD, where a fan jumps into the ring and pushes Eddie off of the ladder. It was actually a really big deal, like kind of scary, because, you know, when you're getting pushed off the ladder, it's a performance piece, right? And yeah, you're going to get hurt probably, but you have an idea. You know, it's like, oh, hey, push me off the ladder, or hey, do a move to me. You know, this is a like, holy crap, who is that? Who is that guy in the ring, you know? And that's scary. That is very scary. And like you said, you know, that guy could have been stabbed. Ambrose and Reigns actually did the smart thing. They just stood there, and Ambrose actually mouths, that's not the guy. You know, that's not the secret guy. you know, that's what he said. It was really funny. Back in the day, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that fan would have gotten jacked in the face. He would have gotten punched in the face. He would have gotten taken out. And I don't know, maybe that's what he was trying to do, but I think that this is a long way to go for your 2 seconds of fame, and I think it's dumb. I really do.
And one thing that I remember back, it would have been in the 90s approximately, I remember seeing someone jumped in the ring and got cold cocked, just hit him as hard as they could. The guy goes down and he's just out. And then they took him out. I can't remember who it was, but I remember it was two big guys and it was a tag team, but It was it's sad. You just don't do that. If you do that in football, you get charges pressed against you. You're banned from that stadium and all NFL events. And basically, that's what happened with this guy. He's in jail. He has probation, and he is screwed. So I'm just telling you right now, everyone who listens to this show, do not jump into the ring. I don't care if it's a house show. I don't care if it's the guys who gave one guy a rock bottom that was perfect, better than The Rock. But just don't get in the ring, okay? All right, so let's talk WWE programming. So the Divas title finally changes hands. It just barely breaks AJ Lee's record, and your new champion is who, Aaron?
It's Charlotte, your girl Charlotte, Andy.
Yeah, she's not my girl, but yeah, she won the title. She won the Divas title. Do you think that Nikki should have just got to the point where she was about to break the record, and then bam, she doesn't break it?
She wanted it. So, Andy, let me ask you, who is the longest reigning Divas champion?
Nikki Bella.
Okay. So last week when you said that if she loses it on Sunday, that it doesn't count, you meant that it actually does count.
In my humble opinion, her title reign was pointless. It was horrible and made the Divas title look horrible.
I agree. I think her reign was pointless, but she still was the champion. You know, I mean, that's the thing. The numbers don't matter. Look, Bruno Sammartino held the WWE title for 10 years or whatever it was, like 7 years. But he didn't defend it night after night after night. You know, he defended it, you know, here and there. And so, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, sometimes the days don't matter as much. Like CM Punk's 434-day title run is actually quite impressive, because that's during a time when you don't hold a title for that long. You know, you don't. And so that's why it's a little more impressive, because he was defending it night after night after night.
Yeah, but are they going to have Rollins go that? I was going to say Ambrose. But are they going to let Rollins break that record as well, just so they're not the longest reigning champions of all time? Because you got his wife, and now you're going to go after him. Is it going to be Rollins? I hope not. And plus, someone has to cash in soon, and he won't be able to break that record unless they decide to have Sheamus cash it in. And then
Rollins isn't going to. They, you know, I don't think that they're going to. You know, look, AJ Lee's record was not that impressive. It's 200 some days, right? That's a pretty easy record to break. CM Punk's is 434, and to break that record, somebody has to hold the title for over a year and then some. You know, that's actually quite impressive. So it's like, what, 15 months or whatever you have to hold the title for? That's not going to really happen in this day and age with one world title, because they have to have it switch hands. It has to be something that's compelling. You got to have good storylines with it. You know, Rollins has had a pretty decent title reign. You know, at first it wasn't really good, but it's gotten a lot better. And I would be okay with him losing the title to Sheamus even this year, but I would prefer it to be next year.
Okay, so here's the question that I wanted to ask you after I watched the show. What is worse, Nikki Bella's title reign or Great Khali's title reign?
Great Khali.
Oh, come on.
Hands down. Great Khali pinned The Undertaker by stepping on him.
And?
Nikki Bella at least made appearances, and she actually defended the title some. You know, Great Khali was pointless. You know, it was just they were trying to get some monster over. But okay, back to the whole Divas Revolution. Let's just, you know, Nikki Bella is now the longest reigning champion at 300 some days. That's probably going to get surpassed here in, you know, I don't know, a few years. But back to the Divas Revolution. Paige basically cuts a pretty scathing program on Charlotte and the rest of the Divas. Paige, you actually kind of called it that she was going to turn a little heel. You know, she's going to get a little mean streak going. So here's the question. What are they going to do with the Divas Revolution now?
Well, they brought Natalya into it, which I was like, well, it's about time, because she's really one of the better wrestlers out there. I thought that was interesting that she basically said that you're nothing. And I thought they were going to join forces and basically have both of them be heels. But I don't know where this is heading. It's going to be, we're going to have to wait till Raw to find out, because, you know, it was on a SmackDown.
Yeah, they just teased it really on SmackDown. But yeah, we're going to have to wait till Raw. My guess is that we're going to probably see Charlotte's going to be at the top. I think even Becky Lynch might abandon Charlotte, not necessarily turn heel, but kind of abandon her and have it be a Charlotte versus everybody type of thing, where everybody wants the title, and that makes the title feel important. You know, right now, you know, I'm sorry, not right now. Before, you know, Nikki had the title for what, 90 days without defending it? So the title didn't feel important. You know, the title's important by who you defend it against, you know, the storylines that you put in. And this way it would make the title feel important. Charlotte holding the title, that title is definitely going to help make her. You know, she's not going to make the title. The title is going to make her. And hopefully she can do it justice. Hopefully we can have some good storylines going forward. Honestly, and Charlotte doesn't have to hold the title long. She could hold that title for 60 days, drop it, and it'd be fine. You know, as long as you have a good storyline going with it, you know, and you know, kind of pass the title around a little bit between the right people.
Now, Kevin Owens, we talked about this. They're like, wow, they just threw a match together. And I said, no, he's not going to win it because he'll win it at the Madison Square Garden show, because then they'll say, hey, you got to watch all the WWE programming because, hey, it could, a title could change hands. But instead, they decided on Monday, Owens, go out there and say that you don't like Ryback, and then you're going to win the IC title on Sunday. And that's pretty much what happened. He came out, beat Ryback, and now he's your new Intercontinental Champion. So, KO Kevin Owens.
I like Kevin Owens. I think that Kevin Owens definitely deserves championship material. I think that he should have won the U.S. title from Cena the third time around. I think that would have been better for them to do. I think that this is okay, but I don't think that it was a smart move. I think that you should have had a bigger buildup. Even an extra week or two would have made me feel better, where they're kind of dancing around and Owens is like, nah, I'm not going to face you. You know, you got to get some heat on Owens, because here's the other issue too. People were booing Ryback and cheering Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens is the bad guy. He wins by raking the eyes of Ryback and then, you know, putting them in a small package, you know, just like a quick little roll up, you know, or whatever it was, and getting the win, 1-2-3. Well, that's a heel move. You don't cheer that. You shouldn't cheer that. So instead, what they should have done is Owens should have really been a dastardly heel and been like, nah, I'm not going to fight you now. Or do what Brie did at the start of her match. She got out of the ring, you know, to get extra heat. So as opposed to go after Charlotte, she went out of the ring. Smart move. The fans were booing the Bellas. They were just all over her. So I think that it was a mistake the way that they built this up. And I would have done it a much better way.
I completely agree. And, you know, going on to the U.S. title, you know, Cena beat Rollins for the U.S. title, which is I'm kind of surprised that they would do that. But and the fact that they announced on the pre-show that, by the way, did you watch the pre-show?
No, I did not, because I'm not an idiot.
Well, but I checked. It said you were watching the WWE Network around that time.
Yeah, it was on live. I was out doing something, because I don't have half an hour to watch recaps.
It's an hour.
They're going to show me recaps. I don't have an hour to watch recaps. Honestly, if you're sitting there watching it for a full hour, there's better things you can do with your time. You could play video games during that time. You could spend time with your family instead. You know, the hour pre-show is pointless. It is dumb. It is like watching, you know, the Super Bowl, how they have like 6 hours of, you know, preview going. There's no reason to watch 6 hours of preview. There's none whatsoever. I got better things to do with my time.
All right. Well, anyways, getting back to Rollins losing the U.S. title, John Cena, what was the point of John Cena having the U.S. title again, realistically?
Just to make Rollins look a little bit more powerful, you know, make him look a little bit better by winning the title and then, I guess, losing it.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why they did that. But, you know, okay, so Rollins drops the title, so then he does not have the two titles. All right, so we move on. And then Rollins faces Sting. Now, and this match looked like he was going to go for probably another 5 or 10 minutes, but Sting got legitimately hurt, and he got hurt from realistically a bump that I've never seen anyone get hurt except Sting's the first guy when he took that, because it's a simple thing. All you do,
wouldn't say it's simple.
Well, the thing is, usually there's no force behind it, but when I kept rewatching that over and over again, it looked like Rollins threw him a little too hard into the turnbuckle. And the force caused him to basically get whiplashed, and then he falls down and he can't walk right. And then, and here's something. This is what I want to point out. They're not doing the X's anymore, and I don't think anyone realized this. But if you watch even on Raw the following night, all the refs now have a button on the back where they can say, "Hey, someone's hurt," and they can actually talk to people backstage. I think that should have been done years ago when they started wearing their earpieces. But now they can communicate and actually say, hey, he's hurt. We need to get this thing going. And if you notice the match, I said something to my wife because she even noticed it too. I said, if this ends in 2 minutes, he's hurt legitimately. So they went to that finish. And if you saw, if you watched the finish, it's really fast. He goes for the scorpion death block, gets it, and then does it right again. And then he gets pinned. And it's really weird because they had all this time left over. They had almost 20 minutes that realistically it should have gone 10 more minutes. That match.
It was supposed to go in another 10 minutes. Probably there was probably gonna be a couple other false finishes and everything, but you know, unfortunately they couldn't. And it's sad because of course we like Sting. We both originally thought Sting was going to win until about last week. And then I definitely was adamant Sting would not win. You were kind of on the fence still, it seemed, but, you know, this is sad because that means that Sting is probably not going to wrestle again based on what they're saying about the injuries. That there's a very good chance that we're not going to see Sting versus Undertaker. That, you know, that was Sting's last match was against Seth Rollins. And, you know, he's old. I mean, I don't know why they were doing some of the spots. Like, you know, Sting said, I'm going to jump off the turnbuckle. Whatever agent was doing that probably should have been like, look, dude, I get it. You can do it. That doesn't mean that you should do it. You know, my car can go 140 miles an hour. Should I drive it that way? Probably not. That's probably a bad idea. I could probably get pulled over, get a ticket, or arrested, whatever.
And it'll probably take you an hour to get up to 140, too.
Yeah, yeah. but the point is, like, you just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And there were so many spots in that match. Like, the turnbuckle bomb, he did it twice in a row. Like, or not in a row, but he did it twice, like, in the span of, you know, 5 minutes or so. There was no need for that. You could just do it once, and it's fine, you know?
Yeah, and I completely agree. So this brings up a point. Is Rollins safe in the ring or unsafe in the ring? Because he hurt Cena, he hurt Sting, and I started thinking about it. In Ring of Honor, I know he hurt some guys as well. So does this mean that the old Tyler Black and now Seth Rollins, do you think there's an issue with him in the ring? Like, Cena's thing was, you could tell, because a lot of times if you're wrestling, there's not a lot of force. It's mostly just looking like there is. But it almost seems like Rollins is getting too aggressive in the ring. And I think that powerbomb spot, the turnbuckle powerbomb spot, like I said, usually you toss the guy a little bit. And it's mostly the guy, when you take it as a simple thing, but he threw him in there. Not just gentle. He threw a 56-year-old guy into the turnbuckle and gets whiplash. And we don't know the extent of his injuries still. And no one knows.
I wouldn't necessarily say that he's unsafe, but I would say that he's a little reckless. I think that's a better way to describe it because, you know, being unsafe means that, you know, you probably shouldn't be in the ring. Being reckless means that you might injure a few people and you probably shouldn't be doing that. And that's what I think was going on is that he was being reckless. And I think his match with Sting, he probably was being a little more reckless than what he should. I fully expected this to be a Sting dominating probably 70% of the match, and then Rollins getting a quick victory somehow by, you know, just some dastardly thing that he would do. And that didn't happen, which is fine. It doesn't have to be right all the time, but I was very surprised at the moves they were having Sting do. Sting should not have been taking that many bumps. Rollins should have been taking the majority of bumps. That's what should have happened. And I was so amazed by the way that this match was called. And you know, the Rollins Cena match was totally fine, you know, because those are guys that are in their 30s that can do those moves. So I think that this is a bad idea altogether, and they really need to adjust how they have their veterans in those matches.
And if you remember, a lot of times when the guys were in like their late 40s and 50s, if they were still wrestling, that match was completely different. It was super slow, so then they did not blow up, you know, after 10 seconds. And it just seemed like this match, like I said, like you said earlier, the agent, whoever was on this match, they messed up. But this also brings to my next point. Do you think that Sting was actually supposed to win?
I don't know. I don't think that Sting was supposed to win. I think that it happened as planned up until the finish. I think that there was going to be a different finish. But I do believe that it was going to be Rollins that was going to retain the title.
The only reason I say that is because the ref actually, when he was down, came over to Rollins after he was talking to the people in the back because he kept pushing the button on the back. And he actually there was stuff said. And I'm wondering if they said, hey, this is the new finish. And that's why, you know, eventually it'll come out and over the next few weeks that if the finish was with Rollins retaining. But I don't know, it just seemed weird to me. But the whole thing with Sheamus comes out then, wants to cash in. And of course he can't because Rollins, because Kane comes out, takes care of Sheamus and also takes care of Seth Rollins.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I don't think that it was a mistake, because let's just say Sting wins, right? What would be the point of Kane coming out? Because Kane was going to come out regardless, right?
Well, if Sting snuck the win and then Rollins started beating him up, Sheamus comes out, wants to cash in then, and Rollins is like, yeah, cash in, blah, blah, blah. And then Kane could come out at that time. I mean, Kane was going to come out no matter what, and so was Sheamus, but it was my theory is that it changed, but I'm wondering if it changed as in he's not going to win the title, but that's just me, conspiracy theory, if you want to go that far.
I don't think that was the case. I think that it went as planned. Rollins retained, not in the way that they wanted him to, but he did retain.
Now, the other thing also, so Kane comes out and he's doing like the Jekyll and Hyde gimmick where he's corporate Kane and he's the monster Kane. Mm-hmm. Which I love this. And the funny thing is I was watching when I was watching Raw and I noticed it. I was like, how come there's not that many spots in the one corner? I was like, oh, and my thought was because NXT started doing a lot of jumps from the turnbuckle that's on camera, on hard camera. And it's supposed to make it seem like you're basically in the mix a little bit more. And I thought that's why they were doing that. That all of a sudden Kane decides to pop out and grab Rollins. And I thought that spot, that was awesome, except the fact that when they shot the smoke up, it was a little delayed.
But the smoke didn't need to be there. That was so cheesy and corny. I saw that and I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, he got dragged down there. We're going to have smoke for some added effect. What? This, like, that is 80s crap. You know, that is something that you do in the early 90s, late 80s. You know, that kids are going to be like, oh my God, this smoke. There was no need for that. It honestly, it kind of took away from the moment for me. Maybe some kids are like, oh, that was kind of cool. But I think it was very cheesy and corny.
Now, the one thing they started promoting big time was that Lesnar is going to be on the Road to Hell tour. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing this. So in October, you're going to see a lot of Brock Lesnar. I think there's going to be at least three times you're going to see him. And he's going to take on the Big Show, which Big Show, by the way, Big Show coming out and cutting a promo on Lesnar. I thought Show made, they brought up history, and I thought it was interesting. The other thing I thought they would bring up is that, hey, I guess he got suplexed on, but you could say that we kicked each other's butt so much that we were able to break the ring. Like, he should have brought something up about that. But the fact that he pointed out that, hey, I won the WWE World title from you at SummerSlam, I think he said.
That was a smart move.
Yeah,
that was really smart for them to do, because last time they faced each other, Lesnar beat the ever-living crap out of him, and it wasn't even a match. It was Lesnar basically using the chair on Show for 5 minutes. Honestly, it was kind of a crappy match. This has gotten me a little more excited. I'm not a big Show fan. He also has been getting victories over Cesaro to help build him up, which I think is very unfortunate, because I think Cesaro deserves to get victories, but you know, it is what it is. But let's talk about the big thing that they did, which is that they already announced the main event for Hell in a Cell, which is Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker Part 3.
So, yeah, this is a big one. And Hell in the Cell, I actually enjoy the Hell in Cells. I mean, I enjoy them on like No Mercy and like the video games, especially because, you know, you can't pin the guy till you break all four of the top. Yeah, I mean, we already know that. gosh, you gotta love No Mercy. But yeah,
it was actually Day of Reckoning.
Oh, Day of Reckoning. I'm sorry. Day of Reckoning. My bad. For the GameCube. Yeah, so this is going to be interesting to see how they actually put the match together, because Taker did look better than what he has, but how much better is he really going to look? And that's what I'm kind of concerned about, but it looks like this is going to be a decent match. I can't wait for it, actually. I think it's weird that it's going to be on a Saturday night, but you know,
For the Big Show one.
Yeah. It's going to be on I think it's October 3rd, which is a Saturday. Yeah. It's a Saturday and it's a Saturday night. So maybe this is something that they're testing to see. Maybe we're going to run pay-per-views on Saturdays instead. which they could, but I don't know if the hype will kind of die away with one day in between. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the next pay-per-view is, what, you know, 2 weeks after that or so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, his match with Taker, I think, is going to be really exciting. I am happy that they are going to do a third one. I think that this is the final one, though. You just end it here. You know, you don't even need Lesnar for the next two pay-per-views. Just have him come back for the Rumble. And honestly, even for the Rumble, you don't need him. The Rumble itself sells the Rumble. So really, you only need him for the, you know, Fastlane or whatever that stupid pay-per-view is.
Oh, the
you know,
one that I'm probably going to be going to?
Oh, you're going to go to there?
I think so. I talked to Doug about it. It's a little out of the way, but it would be basically a day. We would take the entire day, drive down, watch it, drive back. So, Doug and I may go to hit WrestleMania. He might hit all the pay-per-views. Anyways.
But what I'm saying, though, for Lesnar, I would have him at Fastlane because that would be a seller. You know, that's what helps sell the pay-per-view a little bit more, or sell the event. You know, that's what I would do. But anyway, last bit of news, though, is that he's doing a sit-down interview with Austin. Does that excite you at all?
It does. It's on October 19th. It's going to be Stone Cold's podcast. He will talk to Brock Lesnar. I just hope that they let them go an hour and a half, because I think that they could jam-pack. It could be jam-packed with a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed, like, having the, you know, the podcast/vidcast that they do. I enjoy those. And I wish that they would do, you know, at least once a month, which it seems like, but that's what they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. That is.
I think it's great because, you know, I still listen to podcasts here and there because, you know, we are one. And I really hope that it gets people more interested. Like, hey, you know, Jericho's interviewing such such, or Stone Cold's interviewing Paige. should have been Hulk Hogan. Yeah. So that it's getting good, and I like the last one they did with Edge and Christian. I thought that was really good, and we'll have to talk about that at a later date. But I'm excited about this podcast they're gonna be doing with Stone Cold. So even though it's a month away, I'm still excited about it. But anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to stay big on items from WWEShop.com. And it still has CM Punk's picture on it for some reason. I don't know why. So anyway, so for our weekly topic, JBL is doing another sit-down interview style, which I think is cool, and it's with Legends. And his first episode, it's a two-parter, and it's with Eric Bischoff. Big deal. And Bischoff, I gotta say, this one was really good. And I do like Eric Bischoff, but I like how he doesn't like Paul Heyman still, which I find hilarious. He actually said it in the Monday Night Wars Blu-ray. He basically throws Paul Heyman under the bus, saying Paul lives in basically his own fantasy world. And yeah. Then there's the real world, which I thought was funny. But he didn't talk about it. He mostly talked about how he started in the business, how there was a chance that there would be no Attitude Era if it wasn't for Eric Bischoff, which I actually do agree with, because as soon as they changed their style, WWE had to change their style, and that became the Attitude Era. And then he got knocked because he said that New Japan did a thing where there was another organization into the organization. They wanted to basically start from the center and then branch out. And he got knocked for that. JBL knocked him a little bit about it. And I was like, oh, come on, dude. Everyone steals everyone's ideas. But then if you look, WWE did DX right around the same time. But I thought that was really – I thought the whole interview itself, it's ends up being about 2 hours for both parts. It was really good. Something that definitely hop on the network. It's not, you don't have to watch it, but it's definitely a good listen to. Definitely.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I always hated, and I'm glad that they brought up, was how WCW made no stars. Well, when you think about it, WWF never really made a whole lot of stars either. You know, Hogan was a made man in AWA and NJPW. He was selling merchandise left and right. He was becoming a household name. Obviously, going over to WWF helped skyrocket him even more. You know, for the most part, WWF was like Bruno Sammartino It was Bob Backlund, and that's really about it. You had so many people, so many big guys go from the AWA to WWF. Now, am I saying that WWF did not make guys? No, of course. They helped make guys. They helped make stars even bigger. WCW did the same thing. Hall was not a huge name in WWF. I thought he was a big name, you know, but he wasn't a huge one. Diesel, on the other hand, obviously was, you know, he's a pretty big name, and coming over as Kevin Nash. That was kind of, it was nice. You know, it was a good coup. Those two, though, became even bigger stars. I would argue that Kevin Nash's time in WCW was better than his time in WWF. And the main reason for that is because of the NWO. And his time in WWF was honestly kind of crappy. You know, he beat Bob Backlund in like 8 seconds. Oh, cool. That started your terrible title reign. You know, that lasted for almost a year. You know, but for the most part, WCW, yeah, they took existing stars and made them even bigger for someone like a Hall or a Nash. But they also helped make some stars, and they helped give a platform for some of the younger talent. Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, those guys had a platform that they were able to stand on and get people excited for them. So that way, when they went to the WWF, people knew who they were, and they were able to get over even more there. So I'm glad that Bischoff brought that up. That's actually always been a huge sticking point for me in terms of what WCW did. WCW had a lot of terrible stuff. WWF had a lot of terrible stuff. You know, don't act like, you know, no one is without fault.
I completely agree. And this, like I said, I don't want to go too in depth into this, but this is one that I will highly suggest. There's two that I would say to watch right now. I would watch this one, the JBL show, because his show could actually be not a game changer, but it could be a big deal where you have him do it once a month. You have a Stone Cold podcast once a month as well. So you could have basically two podcasts on there that are great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing who's he's going to interview after Bischoff. So JBL, I just want to give you props, man. Just want to give it up to you because you did a great job on this and his Legends thing. So definitely check it out. The other thing to check out, Edge of Christian, when they're on Stone Cold's podcast, another one definitely to check out right now. I haven't watched the Nitro thing yet, so I can't say like, oh, it was great. I haven't watched it. So, and plus it was released on Tuesday. So anywho, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AwfulMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.